A Tale of Two Businesses.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Here we have two massive American companies, CIT, the big business lender, Ford, the car maker. CIT got a taxpayer bailout. Ford didn't. CIT went bankrupt over the weekend. Ford just said it turned a profit. Let's start with this morning's surprise announcement from Ford. We're joined by auto analyst Mike Wall at CSM Worldwide. He joins us live from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
The experts were predicting a loss for Ford in the third quarter. How do you explain the billion-dollar profit?
Well, there are a few things going on there. One, we've had some recovery in vehicle production, vehicle sales and production, in part spurred by the Cash for Clunkers program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a significant amount of cost reductions and facility and efficiency improvements that Ford's been pushing across all of their plants.
Well, let's talk about its position with its rivals. GM and Chrysler got bailouts. Ford did not. How big a selling point is that for consumers?
You know, it's been sort of a subtle selling point that Ford's been sort of touching on, just the fact that they're sort of the independent American car company out there. And I think it has resonated with some of consumers out there.
At the same time, though, Mike, Ford's American factory workers just said no to some contract concessions. How divided is this labor relationship going to be for them?
Well, you know, it's been a sort of a dance out there in terms of navigating the waters of posting profitability and yet trying to get some sort of joint agreement that puts them on par with GM and Chrysler. That is a challenge. I think, you know, Ford is making some significant improvements though on their efficiency side, so they'll still be able to continue to do well going forward on that front.
Mike Wall at the market forecaster CSM Worldwide. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, from winner to loser. Over the weekend, as I said, CIT Group became America's fifth biggest bankruptcy. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports the company got taxpayer money because it's a financial lifeline for a ton of small and mid-sized companies.
CIT is the primary lender to hundreds of thousands of manufacturers and retailers, from Eddie Bauer to Dunkin' Donuts, so its Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing means a lot as the economy is coming out of recession and heading into the holiday shopping season. Many of these businesses are already struggling to find banks that'll lend to them or extend lines of credit. Bob Coleman publishes the Coleman Report on small business lending. He says CIT's problems with subprime mortgages have already caused the bank to cut way back.
They are down over 80% in 2009 versus 2008, and that translates all across the tens of thousands of small businesses that they service.
CIT's goal, with the blessing of investor and bondholder Carl Icahn, is to emerge from bankruptcy by the end of December and to keep its business lending going during that time. The biggest losers are stockholders and the U.S. Treasury, which pumped $2.3 billion in bank bailout funds into CIT. That investment is probably lost. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. European stocks are mixed this morning, while Asian markets were mostly lower today. And on Wall Street, the Dow tanked on Friday. It closed at 9,712.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Nova, Becoming Human on PBS, the evolution of evolution. Nova, Becoming Human, Tuesday at 8, 7 Central on PBS.
This morning, President Obama and Chinese President Hu will sit down in Beijing to sort out differences over trade protectionism, currencies, climate change. But author Zachary Carabel says these countries are more team than rivalry. His new book is called Superfusion: How China and America Became One Economy and Why the World's Prosperity Depends on It. Zachary, good morning.
Good morning.
I was surprised to read in your book how much we not only buy from China, but the massive amount we sell to China, from equipment to know-how to fried chicken and lipstick. But calling the U.S. and China one economy, how do you figure?
Well, it's obviously meant to be a provocative title, and it's more to say that these economic systems have become so intimately intertwined over the past 10 to 20 years that they are becoming their own system that in many ways transcends the national boundaries of each country.
The U.S. and China are involved in high-level trade talks right now. What do you expect to come out of those?
You know, I expect the rhetoric to continue to be very favorable. Chinese diplomacy is a behind-closed-doors, say pretty anodyne, generic things in public, and then get into the nitty-gritty away from the public eye. You know, in private, it's a little more difficult to tell because there's still a degree to which both countries and the leadership of both countries see themselves as able to browbeat the other or get the other to do what they want. And that is unrealistic. Neither the United States nor China are amenable to that kind of pressure from the other.
Is China's growth eventually going to somehow swamp the U.S. economy? Are we at a disadvantage because of it?
That's unclear. I think a lot of that depends on the degree to which the United States is able to remain vibrant, innovative, and creative, is able to, in fact, create a new generation economy to replace the economy that we've been leaving. And if we're not able to, then China, which is very much in an upward swing and does have a lot of self-confidence in their ability to carve out their own future, may, in fact, over the coming decades, surpass or overtake the United States as the locus of global economic activity. And to some degree, there's an inevitability to that. As they prosper more, the relative position of the United States will shift. And that's not necessarily a bad thing for the United States, certainly not a bad thing for the world, and nor should we view it that way.
Zachary Karabell is the author of Superfusion, How China and America Became One Economy and Why the World's Prosperity Depends on It. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And finally, remember the movie Aliens? Those creatures may have been nasty, but they were not able to walk around inside a human forklift like Sigourney Weaver did.
Come on!
The arms of that machine gave her superhuman strength. Well, now Panasonic has made those arms a reality. The company's new dual arm power amplification robot is being developed mainly for construction, but other potential uses include cargo loading, disaster relief, and sending gooey, toothy monsters hurtling into outer space. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.